Oh, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 25. You know, God knows our capacity. That which we can hold, that which we can handle, our ability, capability, aptitude, power, he knows. The capacity of the individual, of each individual. You know, God wants to work with us. God wants us to experience usefulness and purpose. The Lord wants us to know utility and ability. God knows our capacity, and he grows our capacity. God wants to work on us, and he wants to work in us. The Lord wants us to experience increase and expansion. The Lord wants us to know growth and development on this side of eternity. Capacity. And not just human capacity. The Lord has knit us together, and the Lord has granted capacity to each vessel, and the Lord gifts capacity, that is greater capacity. The bestower of supernatural beyond the natural, greater than what we could ever be or know on our own. It's a touch of God on our lives to increase and to know increase. Several ability. And let's begin here with the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, we pick it up at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The King James Version reads, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. You see, the Lord knows us. He knows each of us. He is acquainted with us. He created us. He is for us. He's not against us. He loves us, and he leads us. And one would say, Lord, I want 5 talents. I can handle 5. Or, Lord, I want 2 talents, not these 5. Lord, so-and-so gets 2, and I get 1. Lord, so-and-so only has to handle 1, and I have to handle 5. Notice what the Lord said to the 5 and 2 talent men. 5 talent man. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The 2 talent man, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The exact same response. The exact same response from the Lord. And the 5-talent man, so he who had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the 2-talent man, he also who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. Both of these servants acknowledged that it was the Lord. That it was the Lord that delivered the talents to them. You see, the Lord knew. The Lord knew them. The Lord knew each of them. The Lord knew the man to whom he gave 5 talents. The Lord knew the man to whom he gave 2 talents. The Lord knew the man to whom he gave 1 talent. When the Lord delivers talents to individuals, the individuals have the capacity to handle those talents. And when the Lord delivers talents to individuals, the individuals have the capacity to increase capacity through right use. Because what has been bestowed is of the Lord and has His supernatural touch. Right there, a divine power to increase capacity. 5 talents and now 10. 2 talents and now 4. And now look at how the Lord sees the capacity of the now 10-talent men, and look at how He increases His capacity. The text, so take the talent from him, the unprofitable servant, and give it to him who has 10 talents. From 5 talents to 10 talents, and now he's an 11-talent man. Capacity. The increase of capacity, and you know, sometimes this takes time. And there are times when it's immediate. Can the now 10-talent man handle another talent? Well, the Lord says he can. God knew the capacity of the men. And God wanted to increase the capacity of the men. The 1-talent man could have become a 2-talent man, and he would have received the same commendation as the others. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. That tendency in all of us, in our lives. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't look at your capacity, your current capacity, and despise it. Rather, thank God. Thank God for the capacity you know and you do have. Thank God for whatever He has delivered into your hands. Be good and be faithful. Be diligent. Do right. Do righteously and be Be joyful. That line spoken to the 5 and 2 talent men, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. A few things. Just a few things, but not just a few things. Faithful over a few things, no trivial things. Importance and important, the master's talents. Faithful over and faithful in a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things, the Lord is saying. Capacity and increased capacity from servant to ruler. Servants to rulers, and yet still servants. Servant rulers. And this is the key to entering into the joy of the Lord. Entering into the joy of our Lord. Entering into the joy of your Lord. You know, the man who was given 1 talent never did enter into the joy of his Lord. Servant to ruler. Yes, the Lord knows our capacity and the Lord wants to grow our capacity. You know, the master knows each servant. The master entrusts each servant, delivering to them and in this developing them. The opportunity for the development of the Lord to have its way in one's life. Responsibility and weight, an occasion, opening, a role, and over that which he gives. We have rulership. The text for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each one he gave. To each he gave according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. He delivered his goods to them. His goods. From him are all things, and to him are all things. He delivered to them according to ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And one might say, ah, Lord, Master, what exactly am I supposed to do with this? With these? The text, then, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he would receive 2, gain 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. What we see here is the industry of the 2 and the dig nature of the 1. Diligence versus digger. Initiative versus hide the thing. Hide the things. They knew what they needed to do. Rightfully use the talents the Lord had rendered to them. Bring forth increase. Do what they could to see the master's investment in them prove fruitful. Each servant had opportunity. Each servant entrusted. We carry on. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, his master was returning. He said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He didn't even go dig it up. That's what it appears he was hoping the Lord or the master would go dig it up. The Lord, a hard man? The master, hard? He's sown into you, man. What are you talking about where you have not sown? He scattered into you. He invested in you. He entrusted you. He invested in your capability, your capacity, the very capacity he gifted you. You should have been diligent. Should there not be a reaping, a gathering? Not interested in trading? The text is, Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. The Voice Bible reads, you could have at least put this talent in the bank, then I could have earned a little interest on it in the NLT. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. I mean, did this even cross his mind? Was he worried about interest rates? Did he view the interest gained on one talent as insignificant? So he went and got a shovel. If only it was in an account when it came time to give account. The NLV, you should have taken my money to the bank. When I came back, I could have had my own money and what the bank paid for using it. New Century Version, you should have put my gold in the bank. Then when I came home, I would have received my gold back with interest. At least invest. Don't dig. Don't hide the talent. Don't hide the money. Don't hide the gold. This is what those who think the Lord is a hard man do. Those with unholy fear and fears. Those that think it isn't much and it isn't worth much. Like, God, if I had two talents, then I'd really go for it. God, if I was given five, I'd really go for it, but you only gave me one. See, God knew each servant. And perhaps there's a test going on. I don't know, according to the text we read that the servant that received one talent, that's what he could handle. But maybe he could handle five. Maybe he could have handled two. And if he would have handled one, he would have been handling two. And he would have received the same commendation from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done right. So enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, I have to believe that if the one talent man would have tried and lost it all, the Lord would have commended him for trying. But he didn't even try. He went and got a shovel. Charles Spurgeon said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. All that men have, they must trace to the great fountain of the giver of all good. Hast thou talents? They were given thee by the God of talents. Hast thou time? Hast thou wealth, influence, power? Hast thou power of tongue? Hast thou power of thought? Art thou poet, statesman, or philosopher? Whatever be thy position and whatever be thy gifts, remember that they are not thine, but they are lent thee from on high. No man hath anything of his own except his sins. We are but tenants at will. God hath put us into his estates, and he hath said, occupy till I come. Though our vineyards bear never so much fruit, yet the vineyard belongs to the king, and though we are to take the 100 for our hire, yet King Solomon must have his 1,000. All the honor of our ability and the use of it must be unto God, because he is the giver. The parable tells us this very pointedly, for it makes every person acknowledge that his talents come from the Lord. Even the man who digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money did not deny that his talent belonged to his master. For though his reply, lo, there thou hast, what is thine, was exceedingly impertinent, yet it was not a denial of this fact, so that even this man was ahead of those who deny their obligations to God, who toss their heads at the very mention of obedience to their Creator and spend their time and their powers rather in rebellion against Him than in His service. Oh, that we were all wise to believe and act upon this most evident of all truths, that everything we have received from the Most High. Give me five, Lord. I'll get working. I'll get moving. Give me two, Lord. But as long as I have one, proving ground. Like, hey, it's not fair. It's not fair, God. You ever had that conversation with the Lord? It's not fair. Like a little kid, you know. Dad knows what he's doing, and the little kid, Dad, it's not fair. You gave so-and-so more than you gave me. Dad knows what he's doing. It's not fair. So-and-so got more talents. What's going on, Lord? Further words. Now, most men quarrel with this, but Mark, the very thing you complain of in God is the very thing that you love in yourself. Every man likes to feel that he has the right to do with his own as he pleases. We all like to be little sovereigns. You will give your money freely and liberally to the poor, but if any man should impertinently urge that he had a claim over your charity, you would not give it to him. Would you give it unto him? Certainly not. And who shall impeach the greatness of your generosity in so doing? It is even as that parable that we have in one of the evangelists, where after the men had toiled, some of the men 12 hours, some of them six, some of them but one, the Lord gave every man a penny. Oh, I would meekly bow my head and say, my Lord, thou hast given me one talent. Hast thou given me one talent? Then I bless thee for it. And I pray thee bestow upon me grace to use it rightly. Hast thou given to my brother 10 talents? God, I thank you. I thank you for the greatness of your kindness towards him, but I neither envy him nor complain of thee. Oh, for a spirit that bows always before the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty, and the Lord loves variety, and the Lord loves each servant. He knows them, and he knows them intimately. He has a plan to prosper them, not to harm them, to give them a hope and a future. He has a plan to bless them, to see them feel fulfilled, to see them commended, that they enter into his joy. Less talents is no hindrance. God, you've hindered me. You only gave me one. Well, at least he didn't give you none. Different mind. Different spirit. Different eyes. Less talents is no humiliation. Somebody needs to hear that today. This is the blessing of God according to providence. Thank him for it and bless him for it. Bring him glory and honor. Do what is right. Trade and invest, and you will see increase, and you will be increased, and you will feel increase, and you will enter into the joy of the Lord, the joy of your Lord, a spirit that bows always before the sovereignty of God. You see, the one talent, man, he received one talent. What was he thinking at that moment? I wish I would have got two. Well, if you just would have been industrious and faithful, you'd be a two-talent man. But you went and got a shovel. That's your effort. That's your industry. That's your work. A dig nature. You know, if our talents be rightly used, righteously used, the fact that we had less or more will not matter. Will be of no consequence. Will be of no inquiry. To the two that did right, that rightly used what was given them, there was no difference in the Lord's commendation. They all had capacity, and the Lord wanted their capacity to increase. That was his heart. I'm giving you five. I know you. I'm giving you two. I know what you can handle. I know your capacity. I'm giving you one. I know what's possible. I see it in you. If he didn't see it, why give it? Why render it to the man? But how many look at what God has given them, what God has entrusted them with, where God has placed them, whatever it be, and they say it's only one talent. And they have an attitude and they say, God's a hard man. And they have unholy fears, unrighteous fears. And the enemy comes, even to steal, kill, and destroy what God has placed in their hand. And you know what they do? They do the devil's work. They get a shovel and they dig and they bury it. And then they live with an attitude. But the master's coming. The master's coming. The master knows, and the master knows what he needs of us. Be wholly content with what he has for you. It's not significant. It's granted by the Lord. Faithful in little. It might just be approving. You might be able to handle more right now, but God's testing you with little because he wants to see if you're faithful with little. Do not despise. I hear the words of the psalmist, Psalm 84, 10 to 12. For a day in your courts, God help this generation get that back, is better than 1,000. A day in your house. The message paraphrase says, a day in your courts, a day in your house is better than 1,000 spent on Greek island beaches. We're out to get to that place. Then I think you know where your priorities are. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper, that is, stand at the threshold in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. He's saying, doorkeeper? Thankful at first. Just to be in his service at all. Neither envy of another or complaint of thy Lord. Never lose the wonder. Well, we could have titled this talents and yet capacity it is. Let's look to the life of David. Like, hey, David, how did it happen for you? 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from being king, from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided, literally, I have seen myself a king among his sons. The NIV, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. The message paraphrase, fill your flask with anointing oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've spotted the very king I want among his sons. You need to hear this today. Note, God knows where you are. You don't have to help him see you. God knows where you are. You don't have to help him find you, even if your name is Waldo. Look at what he says. I have provided. David had no idea. Off in some field with some sheep. God said, I have provided. I love when the Lord provides for himself. I have provided myself a king. I have chosen a king. I have spotted the very king among. Is it possible? I mean, how on earth, how in the world can a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite be king? Is it possible? With man, impossible. With God, all things are possible. 1 Samuel 16, 4-6, so Samuel did what the Lord said, and he went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, sanctify, that is, consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. I mean, this one, he's got it. Several ability, the capacity needed to be king. He's got the look. Surely, this is the Lord's anointed. Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused, literally rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. A lot of outward appearance. How's the heart? Yeah, how often we look at the outward appearance. Verses 8 to 10, so Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen these. Listen, they were all chosen too. Just not for this. They all had their talents given by God, but this was for another. This was for a brother. God knew the brother. God knew the son. God had been preparing him and working on his capacity, growing and increasing his capacity. A son with a right heart, a son out in a field, some little old field with a few sheep. Verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. The youngest? With the capacity for this. Outward appearance. God looking within. And you know, David had both. Verses 11 to 13, Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him. Now he is ruddy with bright eyes, that is, beautiful eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Anointed capacity. Go after it. Anointed, several ability, an instant touch, an outpouring, instant growth, instant increase. Anointed in the midst of brothers, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon David from that day forward. And yet the process of time and the processing of time, he was anointed and back to the sheep. We'd be like, give me the crown. I got what it takes now. But God's saying, no, we still got to work on this. I'm going to get you ready. The timing of the Lord, sovereignty of God. Son, servant, shepherd, keeper of the flock, anointed, anointed king, but not yet, at least not rulership. Stay where you are, son. Rule where you are, what you are, who you are, what's before you now. God's got you. Stay as you are, son, and let the Lord manage the process and processing of time. Stay and trade and invest. Be diligent with the talent God has given you. The sheep, each sheep, the flock, this responsibility, this opportunity. 5 sheep, 2 sheep, 1 sheep. Know the goodness and kindness of your Lord, for he is not hard. He loves you. He's entrusted you. He's invested in you. Do right with this talent. Leave the shovel where it is. Don't bury the sheep. Don't bury your shepherd's staff. Act like a king now. Well, I'll act like a king when I'm in the palace. The Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul. The distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. I mean, we can't take it all in today. His servant said to him, let our master now command your servants, go seek out a man who is a skillful player on a harp, and it shall be that he will play with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be made well. And so they call for a minstrel. He needed a minstrel. Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. You know who that minstrel was? David. David. Did he have the capacity for this? I mean, he played for sheep. Mary had a little lamb. Fleece as white as snow. Did he have the capacity, the capability? He had played for sheep, but not for a king. Just a son, just a shepherd boy playing for sheep. But God knew and God knows. On Samuel 16, 23, and so it was whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. You know that he was honing his gift. He was honoring God with it, investing the talent and investing in the talent. Well, we head to chapter 17. There was a battle. How many know the story? There was a conflict. God is preparing. How is this all going to work out? How is this possible? God knows where you are. You don't have to help him find you. Just serve him where you are. Be intimate with him where you are. Honor him and bring him glory where you are and with what you have, with what he's entrusted you with. Pulled out from the field, this young shepherd boy, anointed amidst brothers, and then he's sent back. And then he's brought to play before the king, the very king whose position would be his. And in reality, God had already anointed David. The Spirit of God had left Saul, was upon David. But David is serving, doing right. No attitude, just so pure. God, I want to do your will. Well, the time came. We can't take in the text. He would often go back home and tend his father's sheep. He could have said, God, do you know who I am? Father, do you know who I am? I'm the king's minstrel. And you want me to come and take care of your sheep? Are you crazy? But no, he'd go back and he'd serve the house. He'd serve his father. Because he had a good attitude. And he was just thankful for any role. And in every role he served right. And was diligent. He didn't have a dig nature. He didn't think God was a hard man. So he'd go back and he'd serve the sheep. But there's a battle and there's a giant called Goliath. You know the story? And all the army of Israel, they're freaked out. They're scared because this giant comes out every day and he's like, give me a man. We might fight. David doesn't really know what's going on. He's there. And you know what his father says? He says, take these supplies. Go to your brothers. Take some supplies to the captain. And take these things to your brothers. And bring back word. And you're like, take these supplies to my brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the 1,000 and see how my brothers. What do you think I am, a delivery boy? I'm anointed king. I'm the minstrel. I'm a shepherd. I'm not a delivery boy. No, David had this attitude. Take these supplies to my brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the thousands. See how my brothers fare and bring back news of them. No problem. I have the capacity for this. You know, he woke up and he goes down. And he shows up and he sees that there's a cause. Somebody's got to shut the mouth of this giant. Somebody's got to take out this giant. God was preparing this young shepherd boy, this David, anointed king, back to the field. Next level playing for the king, back to the field. Now he's a delivery boy. And the Spirit of God is in him. Like, what happens if we take out this giant? What's given to the man that takes out this giant? Well, the king will give his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes. I'm in! Imagine, you're like, my taxes are Goliath. Well, process of time and the processing of time. Can't deal with all the history today. Servant, son, shepherd boy, anointed king, still shepherd boy, and David is rightfully using what God has placed in his hand. He's faithful in little and much will be given. The role of the shepherd boy is just as important as the role of kingship. It had to be, and it has to be. It speaks to character, and we know that sometimes gifting can take us to a place where character can't sustain us. And that's why God works, and there's the process of time, because he wants our character. God cares about the character of the person, each person, capacity of character, whatever the few things represent this day, delivered by the Master, by the Lord, and the day comes when more is delivered. The Lord knew David. He formed his inward parts. He covered him. In his mother's womb, David was fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, if Samuel would have never shown up, I know that David would have remained a boy, a man, a shepherd after God's own heart all the days of his life because it's who he was. The stage didn't matter. And doing what's right wasn't dependent on the stage or the stage of life. Well, his brothers, at least one, they didn't like that he came out to take down the giant. Charged him wrong, and they're like, you're all about yourself. But that wasn't the case. He knew there was a cause, and I mean, David just knew that it was all God. When he was asked, like, how on earth are you going to take down this man of war from his youth? How are you going to take down this giant? David replied, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear." David's strength was the Lord. David's deliverer was the Lord. David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." David's capacity was of the Lord, and David's capacity was the Lord. And look how the Lord increased the capacity of this little shepherd boy, doing what's right with what we are given, and surely an anointing. The anointing makes all the difference, takes us far beyond our human capacity. Isaiah 10:27, we're wrapping it up. "The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The New King James Version, "because of the anointing oil." The yoke shall be destroyed. Listen, God is on the lookout. God is on the lookout for a David. He's looking for Davids, chosen of God, chosen by God. God providing for himself, in them, with them, what he needs. Does he need a minstrel? Does he need a warrior? Does he need a giant killer? Does he need a man of covenant? Does he need a worshiper? Does he need a king? Does he need a shepherd boy? Does he need a delivery boy? Does he need a godly, God-fearing father or mother? Does he need a man or a woman desperate for the ark, the presence of God? The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. I wonder, is there a yoke that needs to be destroyed today? You say, what are you talking about? The Lord's a hard man. Yoke. I've only been given one talent. Yoke. Yoke ungrateful. So-and-so received more. Yoke comparison. If I had more, I'd do what's right. Yoke excuse. What are these few sheep? Yoke spirit. Anointed king, where's my crown? Back to the field? Yoke attitude. I don't have the capacity to handle what God's given me. Yoke mindset. If God has given it to you, he gives you, and he gives you the capacity. David took down the giant. There was a lot of process, a lot of plotting and so on. David did become king, anointed way back then, but the journey and the timing of the Lord, God knew all along. He was working on the man. He's working in the man. He's working through the man, increasing capacity, making him into a little K king. You can be anointed, and yet there's still a making into. Delivered him the anointing and then immediately went on a journey. To all of us here this day, each of us here this day, if our talents, however this speaks, be rightly used and righteously used, the fact that we had less or more won't matter, will be of no consequence, will be of no injury. Just stay true. Just stay true. I mean, we could talk about Joseph and get him all the way, the dreamer, to Egypt. How on earth would little Joe have the capacity to handle Egypt? Because God was preparing him. But the process of time, and you're like, I just want to get there. I just want to rule. Well, how about pit first? Hatred, rejection. How about sold into slavery? How about serving in a foreign land? How about unjust accusation? How about thrown in prison? How about forgotten in prison? We don't know what God's doing. We see so linear. He sees from above. Just let God have his way. And let God rule time. Let's have the worship team return today. You know, there's many spheres and many small spheres too. And you know, God would have them all filled. Even the small spheres. Don't despise the small spheres, put away the shovel. Whatever role we have in all of this for King and Kingdom is an absolute blessing. Just to serve Him however we can. To show Him appreciation and gratitude. Lord, let the yokes break today. Old and young. Faithful and little. God wants to grow you. He wants to grow each of us. He knows what He's doing. When He gives you one talent, when He gives you two talents, when He gives you five talents. Do you know how many people have been given five talents and they've dug? Two talents and they've dug and hit it? Or they've used it not for the glory and honor of God, but for the glory and honor of self. They've served self. God gave them talent. I mean, just think even naturally speaking today, and even though it bleeds into all realms, how many people on this planet have talents given them by God? Some of them incredible talent. And plural. But they're not using them for God. Not using them for His glory. And, you know, there are even some in the kingdom it's in His name, not for His name. And there's a difference. They're using Him to make themselves successful and popular and wealthy and so on. But nothing is hid from the eyes of God. When all else is stripped away, and even when it's not, God is looking right into the heart of every person. I don't know about you, but today I'm just saying thank You, Lord, that You've delivered anything into my hands. God, just to serve You. Lord, a day in Your house is better than a thousand elsewhere. Oh, to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Lord, let us find rest in You and rest in the process and the processing. And God, let us trust You fully. We know that You're a good God. You have a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. There are many things, Lord, You're working. And we might not be able to see it right now. Sometimes it's not the right time because You're protecting us, God. And sometimes a door shuts because You're protecting us, God. But You'll lead us in perfect manner if we'll follow. God, we want to follow. And we want these vessels of ours to bring You glory and honor. That You be high and lifted up. That our lives bless You, God.